You've reached the High Fashion Hotline.
Hi, my family is so bummed. The countdown to the end of summer is here.
Don't be. It's the start of huge savings at Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, kick off your fall fashion with Old Navy's major savings. Right now, get 50% off all tees, 40% off all dresses, and 30% off all jeans and sweatshirts.
50, 40, and 30% off? That's a countdown I love.
Then get to Old Navy. Tees start at just $6 for adults, $4 for kids at Old Navy and OldNavy.com.
What are we waiting for? Old Navy, here we come.
High fashion, Old Navy. Valid 823 to 825. Excludes in-store clearance. Active licensed and men's package tees.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Haunted Ninth Live. This is Alistair Cross, and I'm here with my co-host, Tamara Thorne. Tonight, our friend and one of our favorite authors, Douglas Clegg, will be helping us celebrate Halloween. So stay with us and join us for a walk on the dark side.
Haunted Nights, live with Tamara Thorne and Alistair Cross.
Good evening, everybody. Again, you're listening to Thorn and Cross Haunted Nights Live, and we are your hosts, Alistair Cross and Tamara Thorne. You can learn more about what we do at our websites, alistaircross.com and tamarathorne.com, or you can visit our mutual blog at thornandcross.wordpress.com, or if you tweet, our handle is @thorncross. Also, be sure to give us a visit at Facebook and give our Haunted Nights Live page a like. For more information on the show, you can visit Authors on the Air on Facebook, Twitter, and at authorsontheair.com. If you're listening online, please click the follow button. This is a broadcast of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network, LLC. First, we'd like to give a special thanks to W.J. Pierce for creating and performing our music. And second, I'd like to tell you a little bit more about our guest tonight. Douglas Clegg is the New York Times best-selling and award-winning author of dark fiction, which encompasses horror, gothic, fantasy, supernatural, and suspense thrillers. His books have been published worldwide and translated into various editions. His short fiction has won the Bram Stoker Award, the International Horror Guild Award, and the Shocker Award, and has been included in several years' best anthologies. Recently, he wrote a new introduction for Mary Shelley's Frankenstein for the Signet Classics edition, and his short novella, Dinner with the Cannibal Sisters, and the novelette, Funerary Rites, are the latest of his works to be published. Before we introduce him, here's my co-host, horror novelist Tamara Thorne, who's going to tell you a little bit about Doug's novel, Isis.
And it's not about terrorists.
All right.
Clear. All right. We are going to have a Halloween party, but we want to talk about Doug's books, too. And Isis is the perfect one for Halloween. And I think it's about to come out in a new ebook edition with a new cover and everything. And you can see the cover on the Thorn and Cross website or on Doug's site, douglasclegg.com. All right, let me tell you about this. New York Times best-selling author Douglas Clegg brings us Isis, a beautifully illustrated, unforgettable novella that is sure to become a classic tale of the supernatural. If you lost someone you loved, what would you pay to bring them back from the dead? Old Marsh, the gardener at Balerion Hall, warned the Villiers girl about the old ruins along the sea cliffs. Never go in there, miss. Never say a prayer at its door. If you're angry, do not seek revenge by the Laughing Maiden Stone or at the threshold of the tombs. There may be those who listen for oaths and vows. What may be said in innocence becomes flesh and blood in such places. She was born Iris Catherine Villiers. She became Isis. From childhood until her 16th year, Iris Villiers wandered the stone-hedged gardens and the steep cliffs along the coast of Cornwall near her ancestral home. Surrounded by the stern judgments of her grandfather, the Grey Minister, and the taunts of her cruel governess, Isis finds solace in her beloved older brother who has always protected her. And when a tragic accident occurs from the ledge of an open window, Isis discovers that she possesses the ability to speak to the dead. Be careful what you wish for. It may just find you. That's all.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
All right.
Now here's Doug.
Hello, Doug.
Hello.
How are you?
New York Times. Yes. Oh, God. We've had a crazy day because we've had massive breakthroughs in the novel. We didn't know we needed any breakthroughs in, and we're just sort of giddy. And we're always giddy to have you on.
I love massive breakthroughs. I do too.
Even
more massive?
Except when it requires showers afterwards. That's bad.
It's like a literary hemorrhage.
Oh. Oh, I thought you said literary hemorrhage. And I thought, oh, no, no, please, no.
That too.
So
what are your plans for Halloween,
coming
Doug?
Back out?
One of the... Who's on first?
It was me. Tell us about ISIS since we just talked about it.
Okay, tell us about
ISIS.
By
the way, this is not the illustrated edition. That actually was a special hardcover that came out at one point. This is a new edition of the book with some very slight revision to it. But I, you know, every now and then I look at my books and I think, well, that can probably be fixed a little in this one part that I've changed my mind on. I feel like one of those, I'm not trying to compare myself to a painter, but I feel like one of those painters where they go, well, you know, this can use a little more sunlight on this side of things and a little more shadow. So teeny tiny touch-ups that I don't think anyone's going to notice but me. And, you know, it's set in 1900, basically, 1899, 1900, somewhere in there. And it's really a story about how you can do the wrong thing for all the right reasons, but also how, again, you have to be careful what you wish for. It's a very old-fashioned kind of story with a twist to it from that. And it's, in my opinion, a perfect story for Halloween night. It's short enough to read at one sitting, but long enough to, I think, to give a little bit of nice shadow and dark to the Halloween kind of event. That's really all I really can say about it. I mean, you know, to me, the reading experience is the reading experience. So, pardon my coughing.
It sounds great.
I think it's a good one, and I think the readers over the years, now it's not a new book, it's something that's been around, but it's been out of print and out of circulation for a while. And just like, you know, how Disney brings the old cartoons out of the vault, I bring ISIS out of the vault. or out of the tomb would be more exact, more of an exact metaphor, but out of the tomb, back to the light of day, and then it's a very cool new cover by this company called Damon Zah that's done all my new covers, which has been great. So that's about it. But I do want to talk about Halloween and Halloween traditions.
Yes.
Because everybody has them. You know, some people do the apple bobbing, right? What do you do?
Well, not me.
Tamara, what do you, well, in Russia, apples bob for you.
Well,
Tamara, what do you do for Halloween? What's your Halloween tradition?
Sex. No, that's not it.
Wow.
Honestly.
In masks. You put masks on?
Of course. Nixon masks. And that scares the cats. And, you know, so we really have a good time. We end up with a lot of scratches, but it's okay. Honestly, on Halloween night, we don't answer the door because we have cats and we don't want them bothered. And our house is set back and we just turn out all the lights and we have popcorn and pumpkin pie or whatever.
You're like that mean house on the street that all the kids are like, they're so mean. They never put candy
out. We've got Jehovah's Witnesses all around us, so the whole street is us. But nobody ever comes to the door, even though we pull the car up in front of it. But no, we watch horror movies all night.
Wow. And, what do you do, Alistair?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Well, let's see. For the last, I'd say about 25 years, I have this very religious tradition that it's not religious, but it's a tradition that I observe religiously. And that is, I spend the month of October looking for something fun to do and end up doing nothing.
Same thing as
we do. You have just described my life.
What do you do, Doug?
Well, I mean, there's things I do. I mean, first of all, we have new traditions, and you guys can jump in on this too, right? So, you know, we decided there's just, you know, there are all these old-fashioned traditions. Like when I was a kid, you know, you'd go around and you'd hunt for razor blades in the apples the neighbors give you. You'd egg the house. If they gave you little boxes of raisins, you'd egg their house because that's no good, right?
No.
Well,
you'd basically try to clobber the kids with the best candy and scrub their bag. But I think there are new traditions just to be in there. And one of them is, I call it baiting the dead. And what you do is you go to a graveyard, you play graveyard croquet, but you also use a Ouija board, spend a whole night making fun of the dead. You pick dead people you know, like say you have an uncle or an aunt or a grandparent who's dead, and then basically you give them messages. And so you use the planchette and you go over it and you go like, you are a mother of them. I can't even say it. The curse is the dead, basically. Then my other new tradition, I like candy corn. It's called candy corn bulimia, and it's where you get together with friends and you stuff your face with as much candy corn as possible, and using the stopwatch, you time to see who throws up the most within a few minutes. And then the extra bonus point is the winner takes what they've thrown up and put it back in their mouth. That's the real Halloween treat.
I'm not playing that. I hate candy corn.
Right? If there's anything worse than candy corn, it's candy corn twice.
My other favorite one is called Snappy Pappy. And this one, so if only if kids have these masks. You know those plastic masks? Kids don't have them as much anymore, but if they have them.
Yeah, the ones
where they have the elastic around the back. And what you do is you lean over, and preferably they have to be, like, under the age of 8 years old. And you lean over, and you say, and what are you? And just when that kid starts to say what they are, you grab the mask and snap. Then if you get friends together, and you're having drinks, you basically say, we're going to have a certain kind of unusual seance for Halloween. And you sit around the table. You call up the spirit, you get everyone in the mood, you get the candles and the lights down, you get the candles up, and then as soon as the medium starts speaking, you start yelling at the medium, shut up for once in your life and listen to me. And you try to call up everyone you know. And every time the spirit starts to talk, you say, shut up and listen to me.
I like that.
Communicating with the dead really is pretty one-sided now that you bring it up. I mean, you know.
They're the most selfish people on earth.
I know, the dead,
they
right?
Are.
It's all
about
them.
They always talk in those little machines on TV, you know, and they say, oh, and then the person says, they said Gwendolyn, you know.
Gwendolyn.
I wish I could understand it that well, yeah.
I know. It's like having like a really annoying person in the room when you have a dead person in the room. Mm-hmm. Because they just take up air. They just suck the air out of the room. They just suck the air out of the room.
They smell bad.
They do those little evil whispers. They do those they do those clapping games like in The Conjuring. You go, oh, come on, shut the fuck up. Oh, pardon my language. Shut up. I apologize to any children listening. I apologize for the curse.
Oh, fuck it.
That's
okay.
All good.
Doug said a very bad word. I apologize.
You dress up for Halloween?
Do I dress up for Halloween? I don't think I...
He undresses.
Exactly. No. Listen. We have 50 kids come by the house, right? So what I try to dress up as the most boring middle-aged man they can possibly meet in their life. I want them to know that when they get older, it doesn't get better. I'm like,
it's an important
you kids,
message.
I'm so glad you showed up because I got nothing going on here. My other favorite thing is you have two bowls of candy, right? So one bowl you put the huge like Hershey bars, the giant Snickers, that kind of stuff. And the other you have the little tiny like candy corn and lousy little packets. And you let them see both of them, and then you give them the candy corn.
You are so mean. I love you. Yeah, I wanted to say though, I got my girlfriend gave me a Ouija board the other day, it's a tray that takes drinks. You know, you can carry things on. It's a carrying tray. It's a full-size Ouija board. And so I tried to use it last night and bring our sodas in and everything, but they kept moving around. It was terrible. Well, that fell on its face, didn't
that's horrible.
How about Dia de los Muertos? That's something I absolutely adore. Takes place, you know, starting the day after Halloween for three nights. Do you wear toast at all?
I don't necessarily do Mortos, but I do like me a candy skull now and then, so I have to admit I'm very happy with that tradition. I also like a good
we do that,
graveyard.
Yeah.
I like a good picnic at a graveyard. I like the idea of, you know, playing like bocce ball in a graveyard, which is kind of fun, using skulls instead of balls.
Well,
and I really like calling up demons on Day of the Dead because you know that they have to go back right afterwards. Like, you know, you're like, oh, this is the only day you can come through, right? So back you go. Back you go. Do my bidding and back you go.
Now, did you ever, have you, either of you, ever had anything seriously scary happen on Halloween that wasn't, you know, like a fake haunted house?
Running out of candy,
ever really tell some demons?
Running out of candy, yes.
Yeah.
And knowing that they're running the store.
Oh, I just put my hand inside my crystal light. That's gross.
You know, just having strange kids show up at your house, you know, to me is pretty scary. Not a big fan of the kids.
Oh, no. I like the kids. We have great kids. We have,
Alistair and I feel the same way. It is fun when I've been at other people's houses where they do open the door. I put on a costume, you know, a Grim Reaper, whatever, and just open the door and scream as loud as I can scream at their faces, and they usually run and never come back. I enjoy that one. And it's scary. I love that. And Robert and I, my husband and I, will wear our Grim Reaper garb, and you know, with big black cloaks, and we have scythes, and we walk around the neighborhood, and if little kids start looking at us, we scream at them. Oh, my God, that's so much fun. And it gives them a thrill, too. Then they'll have a story to tell one day.
That's
right. Exactly.
Yeah.
No, we lived at the beach for a while, for several years, and at the beach there were no kids. It was like everybody was, you know, nobody, everybody was a baron.
Yeah.
At the, but now that we're in a little more suburban neighborhood, kind of in the woods, but still suburban, we have kids with the best costumes. I mean, one kid, this is absolutely true, dressed as a yellow bear as Winnie the Pooh, right? But with toilet paper stuck all over her costume, because she really was Winnie the Pooh. I mean, friggin' hilarious.
That's great.
And she was so proud of herself when she told the story. And I'm like, you know what I love about this? Her mother was standing on the street waiting for her. What a classy thing. But I loved it.
Yeah. Oh, that's loved wonderful.
It. Some of the costumes, another one was
best?
Great with this. I'm sorry, there was one cute little kid that came. He was adorable, little four-year-old. And his older brother, who was much older than he was, came up. And the older brother was like 20, 21 and in college. And I was like going, yeah, bring the college boys by any time you want. And what's nice is in our block, it's more the whole family is out with the kids. Like across the street, we have the coolest neighbor. We didn't know what they were like for a while. But then we saw on Halloween week, they hang like a baby doll from a tree.
Uh-huh.
And then they get all their own kids out with chainsaws. So when kids come up the street, we'd watch them go, and they have these trees they have a long driveway, and between the driveway and their front part of the house where you get the treats, the kids would have to walk through this long, dark driveway, and as soon as they crossed through the trees, we heard all the screaming. I mean, all these kids would go up there, and the screams were crazy, and I'm not making that up. I mean, I think I even recorded it and put it on Facebook last year, because it was so fantastic. So I do love this neighborhood for Halloween.
Oh, that's great. Now, I want to know, the best costume I ever did was actually my husband and my son. I made him into a dead motorcycle rider for a party. And Robert, I turned into Mr. Rourke, and I made a tattoo doll out of nylons and baby clothes and tied it to his leg, which the dog at my friend's house was really wanting that thing.
That was hilarious.
And, yeah, and I was a gypsy fortune teller. You might have been there. I had gigantic fake boobs on and dark skin, and nobody knew it was me. And we had all these clues so we could tell everybody, you know, oh, yeah, you'll do that. And it was all dead on, so they thought I was for real. It was great. But that wasn't my best costume. What was yours?
Me?
Either of you. Yes. And then
I'm so boring. I'm not a great costume guy. I think once in Beverly, when I lived in Hollywood, I went to a party in Beverly Hills as a Beverly Hills plastic surgeon with, like, plastic hands hanging off my scrubs with like blood all over me. It wasn't that great. It was just, I thought it was clever, but it really wasn't that great. So I'm not really good with Halloween costumes.
Yeah. Alistair.
I'm almost always a vampire. I don't know why. It's just fun. That's just what, you know what I mean? Like one year I was a rock star. Like I was an 80s rock star.
Oh, you're one of those people that has to be good looking in your costume.
No.
He's good looking anyway. That's the trouble. You can't make him look bad.
I had, No, I was not. I was not good looking at all. It was just that, you know. But almost always, I'm a vampire. I don't know why. I just, it's fun. Oh, I
By
was
the way,
a hooker.
That reminded me. Yeah. Reminded me of when I was young. I was in my 20s. I always dressed as something kind of hot. So I was always either a soldier or a cowboy or something. And then one day I realized I'm the friggin' village people every Halloween. I'm now the
on a rotation
guy.
System.
I was always pretty good looking in costume. I mean, I had friends who dressed as clowns. I would have friends who dressed as clowns, and I'd be like, I can't dress as a clown because it's too close to the truth.
Oh, that was my best costume. When our son was, I don't know, 7 or 8, I think I made him a Merlin. I always made costumes because that's way more fun. But I had a modest, bright-colored plaid jacket, and I put on fat pants and stuff. And then I took blue mask, facial mask, and put that on my face for the base, then drew on the clown stuff and put a big slit in my throat because I was a dead clown, of course. But I had the nicest skin afterwards when I came home and took the face mask off. It was, I highly recommend using face mask and clay for masks. You
cover
won't
girl
be sorry.
Cover girl
it is. It is. God. What were you guys when you were little kids? Still a vampire?
No.
I was exactly. Alistair, you need more imagination here.
Yes.
I know, right?
Pick it
I
up.
Know.
I
you
was
know,
never
you know what
anything...
I always hated? I don't know if you guys have this problem, but I remember always, I'm still really blonde, but I was like platinum white blonde when I was a kid. And I would spray paint my hair, and I would have that shit in my hair. I'd have orange hair for like 3 months till Christmas. It was great. I loved it. So
really?
Yeah, and one year I really was a hooker. That was fun. I did the skirt,
too.
The heels, the whole, yeah, that was fun.
Uh-huh. Water balloon boobs. That is the way to go. They
female,
jiggle.
You were a female hooker for Halloween? That's hilarious.
Yes, I was.
Do you have
yes.
pictures?
yeah.
Somewhere.
How old
we
were you?
We both want to see those.
I was young. I was 14, maybe 14.
Oh my God! Your mother and father were probably mortified. They're like, "Oh my God, what's going on with him?"
No, she was just like, "Whatever." It was good times.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
good times. It was. I did. Yeah, that was. It was kind of fun.
Oh well, that was
but
a different era when you're younger. So that was a different era. So when I was a kid and I was playing with my Johnny West doll, you know, I mean, my parents were always like, "Oh my God, where did we go wrong?" And like, maybe you didn't need to buy me the Johnny West doll. Maybe you should have taken the Chatty Cathy out of my arms. I don't know. No, but it's like I could never get away with that because I was gay. I was always like always afraid as a kid. Like I have to look very, very masculine and normal in my costume.
And so you dressed
it had to be like
people.
A mummy, or I had to be like. I remember my mother, her version of the mummy, because we all made costumes at home back then because they were so expensive. And nobody in my parents' generation ever spent money on a costume in their life. So wrapped up in, I don't know what, torn old nasty sheets that probably the dog had gone on or something. And then iodine for blood, which I never really, like, I remember iodine everywhere. I probably am going to have some weird iodine-related cancer because I had iodine on me from the mummy days. But mummy, I think it was a mummy. I remember my last costume was the last time I went trick-or-treating as a kid. Now, kids go older now. We see 15-year-olds sometimes trick-or-treating in our neighborhood. But when I was a kid, I was old at 12 to go trick-or-treating. Nobody
yes,
knows
exactly.
12 years old when trick-or-treating, but I did because I was like, this is my last year to get candy. And I had to go in like 10 minutes because my parents were like, no, you're going to go to the high school football game with the rest of the family. And I'm like, no, I want to go trick-or-treating. So I had no costume. So I put on – this is the worst, saddest costume. I put on a dark hooded sweatshirt, took a little bit of my mother's makeup, and put a scar on my face. And that was it. Trick-or-treat. And I was so tall at 12, by the way. I was probably 6'2 at 12. So I probably looked like I was 15 already. And I could see the sad sympathy in the eyes of the neighbors who were giving me candy while I elbowed out the 6- and 7-year-olds. It really happened, by the way. And I had like 10 minutes. I'm like, okay, I can go up the street and down the street in 10 minutes and be back home to go to the darn football game.
Oh, wow. I only did one good-looking costume after about seventh grade, and that was Angelique from Dark Shadows. My mother made me this Victorian lavender gown, which I still have somewhere.
Nice.
I wish I could still fit into it. But a couple years ago, I signed with Laura Parker, who played Angelique, and I suddenly go, oh, fangirl, hi, I dressed up as you for Angelique for Halloween, and I felt like, oh, God. I'm 12.
That you were
you, I like
people.
To be ugly. Yeah.
And you,
I like
and
to
you
be,
saw, you saw the look on her face, like going, "What the hell am I doing with my life?"
Exactly. Fortunately, I had all these books in front of me, but it was like, "Oh God!" And then the thing that bothered me, I liked being so. I found out I liked being so hidden in a costume, so I could not be myself, so I could be wiggy like I am with you or Alistair. And so I always started dressing ugly after that. And, you know, dead clowns, mummies,
see,
all that.
I actually
because you can have fun.
I don't, yeah, exactly. I don't like the sexy, like, costumes. Like, I was looking up costumes.
Yeah.
That's
the one who dressed up as a streetwalker, but go ahead.
No, I know, but seriously, it wasn't, it was to be freaky. It wasn't to be sexy.
Yeah.
You know?